Universal. Studio Canal, a Canal Plus company. BBC Films. Working title films. Someone with bare arms picks up an album and slides the record out of its sleeve. He places it on a dusty turntable, flexes his fingers, then puts the needle on the black disc. He lifts it off again nervously, then puts it back down.
I was dancing when I was 12.
Face unseen, the person moves to a single bed and starts jumping up and down on it.
I was dancing when I was out.
As he bounces jubilantly, his face comes into view. It's a young boy of around 11 with auburn hair. He's dressed in a yellow vest and green satin shorts. The wallpaper behind him is flowery and old-fashioned.
I dance myself right out the womb.
Working title films and BBC films, in association with the Arts Council of England, present.
I dance myself right out the womb.
A Tiger Aspect Pictures production, in association with WT Squared. The boy waggles his feet mid-flight.
I was dancing when I was 8.
The rosy-cheeked boy grins as he jumps, then pumps his arms and legs as if running in mid-air.
Strange to dance and air.
Billy Elliot. Billy hurries into the kitchen, which is a mess of stacked buckets and an overflowing laundry basket. He scoops 2 boiled eggs out of a pan on the stove, then struggles to slide them into waiting cups.
Is it strange to dance so?
He jumps up onto the counter and manages to catch a piece of toast on a plate as it flies out of the toaster. After headbutting a carrier bag swinging from the ceiling, he puts a bottle of pills on the tray with the eggs and toast. He slides open a door with his head, revealing an empty, disheveled single bed beyond.
No!
Billy rushes through the kitchen, dumping the tray on his way, and hurries out through the backyard into an alley, which he starts running up. He reaches a woodland area, overgrown with shoulder-high weeds, and sees an elderly woman wandering aimlessly. He bounds over to her. He takes the confused old woman by the hand and gently leads her away. On a ridge high above them, riot police are gathering. Later, in Billy and his brother's bedroom. Billy's brother takes off his headphones.
You've been playing my record, you little twat!
I've never played a note!
Not bad.
A joint.
Dad knew he smoked that stuff, he'd go mental.
Look, fuck off, will you?
Billy grumpily turns off his bedside light and lies down, while his brother, Tony, puts his headphones back on. Now it's morning.
Here we go, Dad. Come on, man. Dad! How are you, Dad? Mum won't be late. I'm telling you, the whole friggin' world's gonna be on that picket line this morning. Oi, you tidied our room. Dad!
There's not much of this coal left.
It's fine. We'll be digging it up again next month.
Don't kid yourself.
I'm not waiting for you.
Tony. Tony!
See you down the picket line, Dad.
Leave it, Billy.
Mum would have let us.
Billy's dad, Jackie, gets up and slams the piano lid shut. He storms out, and Grandma whimpers to herself. Billy slowly lifts the lid and gently presses the worn ivory keys.
Your 50 pence is on the fridge.
Billy gazes up at a selection of family photos on top of the piano, showing him, Jackie, Tony, and his mother. Tony is one of many men jeering and pointing as workers crossing the picket line are given a police escort to the mines. Billy's outside the Everington Boys Club with his friend Michael. A third boy strides through the door, giving Billy a shove as he passes.
Are you sure you're not going to come?
I'm a fool. It's a right load of old bollocks.
No, it's not.
It's a load of shade, kicking people in. Anyway, I don't know why you bother.
I'm good at it.
Are you shade? Look at them gloves, man. They went out of the ark.
Then my dad sees.
Exactly.
A boxing ring.
Right, lads. Listen up here. Hold it. Oi. Here. There'll be costs they're using downstairs as a soup kitchen for the striking miners. I'm going to let Mrs. Wilkinson use the bottom end of the boxing hall for her ballet lessons. So no hanky-panky, understood? Elliot, you're late. Get changed and get in here. Right then, lads. Now give it all you got. Round one.
Jackie's watching from a gallery.
Well, don't just stand there, Elliot.
Billy dances around the ring.
Oh, not again. This is man to man. Combat on a bloody tea dance. What are you doing, man? Hit him! Crazy, he's just pissing about. Now get stuck in and give him a belt. It's like a fanny in a fit.
Fire! Hang on!
Billy's felled.
Jesus Christ, Billy Elliot. You're a disgrace to them gloves, your father, and the traditions of this boxing hall. Yours 50 pence.
Billy rolls onto his side and sees Jackie's look of disappointment.
Billy, punch bag.
Billy's laying into the punch bag when his trainer wearily approaches him.
You're not going until you do it properly.
A set of keys.
Give these to Mrs. Wilkinson in a dance class when you're finished. I'll see you next week.
OK, girls, left hand on the bar. Thank you, Mr. Braithwaite. And pretty arms. Bottoms in. Where are you looking, Susan? Lift, feel the music, feel it. In time, Debbie, please.
As the punch bag swings to and fro in front of him, Billy moves with it. He ducks, dives, and moves from side to side, in time with the plodding piano music. He lands a few punches, then hugs the bag.
Hold it. Support yourselves. Don't look at me. Look ahead. Where's your confidence? Come on.
Billy lets go of the punch bag and tentatively heads towards where the ballet class is taking place. Mrs. Wilkinson rolls her eyes.
And Debbie, eyes front, and five, and six, and seven, and stop, for God's sake. Thank you, Mr. Braithwaite. Right into the centre, girls, please.
Billy steps forward.
Miss the keys?
Not now. Right, Mr. Braithwaite, the sun will come out tomorrow. Fat chance. Ready, and...
Billy moves into the classroom and rests his hands on the bar. He's still wearing his boxing gloves and protective headgear.
Why don't you join in?
Bra forward, and up. Pour de bras forward, and up, and hold.
A line of feet wearing dainty white ballet shoes perform steps in unison. At the end of the line, Billy's clumsily trying to keep up in his boxing boots.
Five boots off, seven and eight. What size are you?
Miss, what about the keys?
Into the centre.
A pair of ballet shoes lands at Billy's feet.
Go on, I dare you. Prepare!
Now, Mrs. Wilkinson walks between the lines of girls as they raise and lower their legs. In between issuing instructions, she takes drags on a cigarette.
And hold!
While the girls wobble, unable to hold the position, Billy's leg remains outstretched, gritty determination showing on his face.
What have we got here, then?
Heel out. Drop your hip. Nice, straight leg. Good arch. Turn that leg out.
She lets Billy's leg drop.
Right, class dismissed. Home time. Debbie, get the 50p's.
Later, outside.
You owe me 50 pence.
No, I don't.
You do. Why don't you bring it along next week?
Can't. I'm going to boxing.
Will you crap at boxing?
No, I'm not.
Shut up. Well, you enjoyed it.
Billy looks confused and guilty.
Please yourself, darling.
Mrs. Wilkinson drives away. He stares after her car, then swings the stick he's been holding like a baseball bat. He waves it in front of him, taps it on the ground, kicks it with his foot, then ends with it over his shoulder in a move reminiscent of Fred Astaire, who appears in a black and white clip from one of his films. Backed by dancers dressed in top hat and tails and carrying canes, Astaire moves gracefully across the stage. Billy's walking hand in hand with his grandma.
He was your mum's favourite, was Fred Astaire. We used to watch him at the Palace Picture House and then dance round the front room like lunatics. Marvellous. Mind, they used to say I could have been a professional.
Come on, Grandma, not now.
Now, Billy runs through a cemetery and throws away litter that's been left on a grave. The stone's engraved with the name Jenny Elliott and lists her death as 2nd December 1983, aged 38. Billy furiously rubs the stone with his jacket sleeve, trying to remove some graffiti. He takes out some shears and starts cutting the grass. At the bottom of the stone are the words, "We will always love you."
Grandma! It's this one here! Grandma! It's over here!
In bed.
Tony, do you ever think about death?
Fuck off!
Night-night, then.
Now, Billy's walking with a girl from the ballet class.
Plenty of boys do ballet, you know.
Do they, Nick? What boys do ballet?
Nobody round here, but plenty of men do.
Puffs?
Not necessarily puffs.
Who like?
What about that Wayne Sleep? He's not a puff. Huh? He's as fit as an athlete.
Ah, bet he couldn't beat Daley Thompson.
Maybe he's not in a race, but in stamina. Why don't you come tomorrow? You can just watch.
I can't. Gotta go to boxing, haven't I?
Please yourself, then. See you around.
Aye. See ya. Ta-ra.
Billy's playing on the piano at home.
Right, lads, look sharp. Everybody out.
Billy peers out from under a toilet cubicle door. The little girls run past on their way to dance class, and Billy opens the door, hangs up his boxing gloves, and sheepishly follows them. Now, as the girls dance, Billy's looking utterly lost.
One, two, three. One, two, three. Where are those arms?
I don't know what to do.
Follow the others. Shut up, Debbie. One, two, three. One, two, three. Nice, pretty. Arms and stop.
See? I told you it takes loads of practice.
Debbie?
What, ma'am?
What do you call me?
Miss.
Shove off. So, do we get the pleasure of your company next week?
It's just... I feel like right sissy.
Well, don't act like one. 50p, please.
Billy gives her the money.
If you're not coming again, give us your shoes.
No. You're all
right. Right.
Billy takes his ballet shoes out of his bag. Later, he gingerly makes his way up the stairs at home, looking around cautiously. He heads into his bedroom and tips his mattress onto the floor. He places the shoes next to an envelope, then quickly dives over them when Jackie appears.
What are you doing? Get out here like creeping Jesus.
No.
We found your nana in the spa stores. Where have you been?
Boxing, where do you think?
What are you doing?
You've got me gloves.
They were my dad's gloves. You better take better care of them, okay?
Billy waits until he's sure his dad's gone, then hauls his mattress back onto the bed. He creeps to the door, peers along the landing, then shuts himself in. Later, he's sitting in a school classroom looking distant. Michael's behind him, gazing at him thoughtfully. Michael whacks him on the head with a ruler. Later, Billy pulls on a plimsoll in a changing room. He catches sight of his reflection in a mirror and straightens up proudly before sagging. Now the boys are on a cross-country run. Michael gives up and leans against a wall. Billy joins him.
Come here, this way.
In a waterlogged tunnel.
So you go to ballet every week?
Yeah, but don't say out.
Why do you need to take lessons?
What do you think? To get better, you divvy.
Do you get to wear two?
Fuck off. They're only meant for lasses.
Now wear me shorts. You want to ask for a tootin'? What for? To dance in.
I'd look a right ticket.
I think you'd look wicked.
Billy stares at Michael.
Come on.
They run along a grassy track and see their classmates on a steep incline above them. Now, Billy runs to the back of a van, stepping back inconspicuously as a woman passes by. He casually makes as if to go past the van. Making sure no one's watching, he climbs aboard. A sign on the side of the vehicle reads, Durham County Library. Reaching out, he takes a book down from a top shelf. He opens it up, revealing black and white photos of a dancer working at the bar.
Now, why are you looking at that? You can't take that out on a junior ticket.
The librarian's distracted by a man mooning on the road behind her.
Come on!
The librarian watches as a police car races after the man. Billy takes the opportunity to stuff the ballet book down the back of his jeans, covering it with his jacket. Then he heads out.
See you then.
Later, Billy gazes up at dozens of little girls in white tutus making their way up a spiral staircase. He follows on behind them. At home, he studies the ballet book in the relative privacy of the bathroom.
OK, Billy Elliot, into the centre. Right, I want you to watch carefully, girls. First, arabesque. Drop your shoulders. Look forward beyond your fingertips.
Billy attempts an arabesque in the bathroom.
There. Right, spin it, Mr. Braithwaite, spin it! Come on, spin it! Now focus! Look at yourself, look in the mirror!
Billy tries out moves from the class in the bathroom.
Ah! Christ almighty, what was that?
Oh, what's going on?
Nothing.
Prepare one... and two, strong position, weight on both legs, and pirouette and down.
Wooly falls.
Up you get.
He's fallen in the bath.
Find a place on that bloody wall and focus on that spot. Then whip your head round and come back to that spot. Prepare. One and two and...
Fuck it.
Have you got the spot? Prepare. Prepare. Go!
Billy's practicing his pirouette in every room in the house.
Go! Go, Billy!
He finally manages to complete the spin and smiles proudly to himself.
What have I told you about that arm? Right, back to the bar.
Billy looks disappointed until Mrs. Wilkinson gives him a wink. The bewhiskered piano player, Mr. Braithwaite, comes over and bends to talk in Billy's ear.
You look like a right wanker to me, son.
Now, with his ballet shoes slung around his neck, Billy's racing down the road and dancing with joy. He hops, skips and jumps past brick walls and over cracked paving. He jetés down a hill, then holds out his arms and turns a corner like an aeroplane before launching into a series of spinning loops. At home, Billy presses a piano key. Jackie's on the picket line with Billy's boxing coach.
Listen, Jackie, if it's just a 50 pence a session, you know, I can do without it. I did a day for the money.
What are you talking about?
The boxing, man. I haven't seen either of you, Billy, for months. I was going to say something, but I thought it might be embarrassing.
And you, but he's never get gloves off.
Oh, yeah, send him round to my house. I'll show up, knock some sense into him.
The workers crossing the picket line are driven past, and their coach pelted with ads.
Step open and balance, balance, balance.
Mrs. Wilkinson steers Billy to the front of the ballet class.
Right, let's do it again.
The strikers strain against the police line.
Open. Lift your chest. Right, let's do it again. Thank you, Mr. Braithwaite. Step forward. Your arms, do it. Arms. Pay attention. Arms, like this. All right. Thank you, Mr. Braithwaite. Step really open. Powerful. Proud.
Billy performs some turns and ends with one arm outstretched.
You're not concentrating.
Yes, I am concentrating.
You're not even trying.
Can we have a go of it, miss?
Let's do it again.
Jackie and Tony are at the shops.
Listen, have you noticed anything weird about our Billy lately?
What are you after, like a list?
Jackie spots someone.
Hey, hey.
Tony heads over to the man and rattles his shopping trolley.
Got enough food there, scab. What are you doing? Hey?
Scabs eat well, yeah. Eh?
You're my best mate. First rule of a union, Gary. You never cross a picket line.
Gary barges past them on his way out.
We're all fucked if you forget that!
We're fucked anyway!
In a speech to the Tory MPs yesterday, Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher referred to members of the striking National Union of Mine Workers as the enemy of the law.
Billy tucks his ballet shoes into his tracksuit bottoms, then leaps over the banister and heads into the kitchen.
See you then.
Wait, you breakfast when you...
What the hell are you up to?
Billy crosses a patch of grass where policemen are relaxing playing rounders and narrowly avoids being hit by a ball.
One, two, three, pas de bol, Ray, and a one, two, three, and a turn, and a one, two, three, pas de bol, Ray, and a one, two, three, pas de bol, Ray, and a one.
Jackie arrives at the club and sees Billy dancing in amongst the girls. Two, Billy spots him and stops dead in his tracks.
Two, three,
Jackie opens the double doors, looking livid.
You! Out! Now!
I beg your pardon?
Mrs. Wilkinson looks back at Billy.
Please, miss.
Billy reluctantly walks towards his dad, then the two of them leave together.
All right, which way are we facing? Come on. And one, two, three, part of our way, and
Bowie.
What's wrong with Bowie?
What's wrong with Bowie?
It's perfectly normal.
Perfectly normal.
I used to go to Bali.
See?
Aye, for your nana. For girls. Not for lads, Billy. Lads do football or boxing or wrestling. Not friggin' Bali.
What lads do wrestling?
Don't start, Billy.
I don't see what's wrong with it.
You know perfectly well what's wrong with it.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Yes, you bloody well do. Who do you think I am? You know quite nicely.
What? What are you trying to say, Dad?
You're asking for a hiding, son.
No, I'm not. Honest.
Yeah, Billy. Billy!
It's not just puffs, Dad. Some ballet dancers are as fit as athletes. What about that Wayne Sleep? He was a ballet dancer.
Wayne Sleep?
Aye.
Listen, from now on, you can forget about the fucking ballet. You can forget about the fucking boxing as well. I'm busting my ass for those 50 pences and you... No, from now on, you stay here. You look after your nana. Got it?
Grandma looks nervous.
They used to say I could have been a professional dancer if I'd had the training.
Well, you shut up!
I hate you! You're a bastard!
Jackie catches up with Billy in the hall and slams him against the wall.
Get off!
Billy slips out of his grasp and escapes through the backyard, sprinting up the hill past other red brick terraced houses. He punches and kicks posters reading "Miners Strike Now," then flings his arms and legs out in frustration. Finally, exhausted, he stands with his hands clasped behind his head. Now he's walking along a road lined with neat bungalows. A barking dog forces him off the pavement. He stands on a driveway, scrutinising a piece of paper, then crosses a lawn. He loiters outside a house and tries to peer in through a net-curtained window. Finally, he reaches out and rings the doorbell. Mrs. Wilkinson opens the door and seems surprised to see him.
Hello. Hello.
Dad'll kill me if he knows I'm here.
He stopped you coming to classes.
It's not his fault, miss.
That's all right with you, is it?
I suppose so.
You should stand up to him.
You don't know what he's like.
Well, that blows it.
Blows what, miss?
Debbie!
At the dinner table.
I've heard a lot about you. Durham's little Jean Kelly, eh? Dad worked down the pit then?
Yeah.
Must be hard for the family being out on strike. He is out on strike, isn't he?
Of course.
I shouldn't worry. It won't last long.
Tom, don't.
If they had a ballot, they'd be back tomorrow. It's just a few bloody commies stirring things up. Let's face it, they haven't got a leg to stand on.
Who doesn't?
The miners. Well, it stands to reason, doesn't it? Some pits are just uneconomical. If it costs more money to pay everybody to dig the coal out than you get for the coal when you sell it, what does that tell you?
Dunno.
Well, you want to think about that, don't you, son?
Tom.
It was up to me. I'd shut the lot of them down tomorrow.
For God's sake.
What do you do, Mr. Wilkinson?
He's been made redundant.
Billy smiles to himself. Later in Debbie's room.
he's going to hit me or something.
Don't be silly. He's just under a lot of pressure. That's what Mam says. I think it's because he drinks too much.
Does he drink too much, like?
He's always pissed. Once he pissed himself.
Your dad?
Because he's unhappy in that. Because they sleep in separate beds.
Why do they sleep in separate beds?
So they can't have sex.
Do they not have sex, like?
Dad did it with this woman from work, but they don't think I know.
She sits back on the bed with him.
Do you miss your mum, then?
Don't really miss her such. It's more like just feeling sad. Especially when I remember all of a sudden. Well, I forgot that she was dead and that. What about your mum? Does she not have sex?
No, she's unfulfilled. That's why she does dancing.
She does dancing instead of sex? Your family's weird.
No, they're not.
She strokes his hair.
They are, though. They're mental.
He starts pounding her with a pillow and white feathers escape and fly up into the air, showering back down on them. Billy stops with his hands either side of Debbie and they stare at each other in silent wonder. Then she reaches out and strokes his cheeks.
See? You're a nutter, you.
Debbie! It's time for Billy to go home. Come on, Billy, I'll drop you off at the corner.
I'll see you, Debbie.
Looking puzzled, Debbie sits up and crosses her arms across her chest. Mrs. Wilkinson stops her car on a patch of waste ground close to the terraced houses.
Okay, then.
Billy undoes his seatbelt and gets out of the car, then turns and leans in through the passenger window.
Miss, what have I blown?
She takes the key out of the ignition.
This'll sound strange, Billy, but for some time now I've been thinking of the Royal Ballet School.
Aren't you a bit old, miss?
No, not me, you. I'm the bloody teacher. They hold auditions in Newcastle.
Never be good enough. I hardly know out.
No, look, they're not interested in how much ballet, you know. They teach you that. That's why they're a ballet school. It's how you move and how you express yourself that's important.
Express what?
I think you're good enough to go for it.
Billy gets back into the car, frowning.
Would it mean an awful lot of hard work?
But I'm banned.
Maybe I should have a word with
him. No, miss!
You know, I could teach you on your own if you want.
I couldn't afford it.
I'm not doing it for the money, Billy.
But what about Dad?
He doesn't need to know.
And what about me boxing in that?
Oh, for fuck's sake, Billy, if you want to piss about with your little mates, that's fine with me.
Well, all right, don't lose your blob.
Blob?
They both smile.
So we can do it private, like?
Just you and me.
Billy looks down at her hand, which is resting on his leg.
Miss, you don't fancy me, do you?
No, Billy. Funnily enough, I don't. Now piss off.
Piss off yourself.
He gets out of the car.
See you Monday, then.
Later, Billy jogs up to a back door. He fiddles with a loose wooden banister, then looks shocked to see Michael answering the door dressed in a girl's blue dress.
You're coming in or what?
What are you doing?
Nothing, just dressing up.
Billy looks around wearily.
Whose dress is that?
Come on.
In a bedroom, Michael flings open the doors of a wardrobe and starts taking out clothes on hangers.
Whose dress is that?
It's my sister's.
Did she give you it?
She doesn't know. Don't try. You can have one of my mum's.
No, you're all right.
Michael starts applying lipstick.
What are you doing that for?
I'm just trying it on.
Billy shuts the door.
Christ.
Come here.
he put some on Billy.
Stay still. There. Won't we get in trouble? Don't be stupid. My dad does it all the time.
What? He dresses up in your mum's clothes?
Only when he thinks everybody's out. Have you got a tutu yet? Do you think being a ballet dancer would be better than being a miner?
I don't know.
It's just, I've got this audition in Newcastle in a couple of weeks.
What for?
For to go to ballet school.
Ballet school? Is that Newcastle?
London?
You'd have to move with your Tony and everybody.
No. By myself.
That's a bit steep. Can't you be a ballet dancer here, like?
Didn't be stupid.
So when you're going there, then?
I don't know. You haven't even got in yet.
What does your dad say?
Doesn't know.
Fucking hell. Are you not going to tell him?
Not yet, anyway.
He might be quite pleased about it. He could rent your room out.
He couldn't. What about old Tony? What do you reckon?
Michael sits next to him.
I think you shouldn't bother.
Why not?
I'd miss you.
Fucking hell.
Now, Billy's shadow is cast onto the double doors of the club. He peers through the wire mesh above them and sees Mrs. Wilkinson, bathed in sunlight streaming through an arched window. He steps uneasily into the deserted gymnasium, carrying a football and with a bag slung over his shoulder.
Brought your things?
He looks at the ball.
Don't know if they're right, miss.
If they're special to you, they're right.
What are they for?
To give us some ideas for a dance. Come on, then, let's see him.
Billy walks to the boxing ring and sits on the side. Mrs. Wilkinson joins him, smoking a cigarette. He reaches into his bag and takes out a long-sleeved black-and-white striped football shirt. He places it on the canvas, then brings out a white envelope, which he holds for a moment before putting it down. Finally, he takes out some cassette tapes.
What's that? It's a letter.
I can see it's a letter.
It's me mum's. She wrote it for when I was 18, but he opened it.
Billy hesitates, then reaches out and picks up the envelope.
Yeah.
He passes it to Mrs. Wilkinson, who stubs out her cigarette in an ashtray. She takes out the letter and unfolds it.
To my son, Billy. Dear Billy, I know I must seem like a distant memory to you, which is probably a good thing. It will have been a long time, and I will have missed seeing you grow, missed you crying, and laughing, and shouting.
And I will have missed telling you off. But please know that I was always there.
With you through everything.
With you through everything. I always will be. And I am proud to have known you. And I'm proud that you were mine. Always be yourself. I love you forever.
Mum.
Billy smiles dreamily, looking as if his mind were miles away.
She must have been a very special woman, your mother.
She was just me, Mum. I brought tape and all.
What is it?
I love to boogie. It's one of our Tonys.
He gives a cheeky smile and she laughs to herself. Now, Billy and Mrs. Wilkinson are leaping and jumping across the gym floor, waving their arms above their heads. We like to boogie. She holds his hand as he spins round. While Billy and Mrs. Wilkinson performed their enthusiastic pas de deux, Tony's dancing to music in his bedroom, wearing headphones, a vest, and a pair of shorts. Jackie sits up in the bath. Even Grandma's getting in on the act, using a mantelpiece as a bar. Jackie gargles. While Billy practices his routine, Tony uses the floor sweeper as an air guitar. Jackie stretches his arms and Grandma looks worn out. Mrs. Wilkinson eggs Billy on as he incorporates keepy-ups with his football into his dance. On the walk home, Billy can't help but practice his steps with a look of intense concentration on his face. He pushes open the back gate, then heads in through the door.
Grandma, tea time!
Now it's night time. As he pulls on the jumper, then gets to his feet, Tony looks at Billy in his bed. Billy sits up.
It's 4 o'clock.
Tony walks into the kitchen and takes a toolbox out of the cupboard under the sink. He opens it up on the table and takes out a hammer. His face is illuminated by the flare of a lighter. Jackie takes a puff on a cigarette.
You aren't thinking of taking it with you.
You just want to stand around, getting the shit kicked out of you. That's your funeral. But some of us are ready to fight back for once.
They're already after you, for fuck's sake. You're no good to us in jail.
I don't plan on getting caught.
What's going on?
You get back to bed. Both of you.
Fuck you.
Put it down.
You gonna stop me?
I'm warning you.
You haven't got it in you, man. You're finished. Since man died, you're nothing but a useless twat. What the fuck are you going to do about it?
Blood pours from Tony's nose where Jackie's punched him. The air is thick with tension as Tony slowly rises to his feet. He walks around the kitchen table, then leaves via the back door. Jackie's shaking with shock and rage. Billy standing in the doorway.
What the fuck are you looking at?
You haven't been practicing. Prepare one, two, and one, and two. Get up.
Miss, can't do it.
That's because you're not concentrating.
I am concentrating.
You're not even trying.
I am, miss.
Do it again.
I can't.
You do it again.
Billy gets to his feet, then turns and glares at Mrs. Wilkinson.
No!
He runs away. Billy races into the toilets, sliding on the polished floor, before heading into a cubicle. He brings his knees up to his chest and wraps his arms around them. A moment later, Mrs. Wilkinson comes in and bends over to look under the stalls.
I'm sorry.
It's all right for you. It's not you who has to do it.
I know.
You don't know anything! What do you know when you push out with the wristband that pisses itself? You're the same as everybody else. All you want is to tell me what to do.
Now, wait a minute.
Look, I don't want to do your stupid fucking audition. You only want me to do it for your own benefit.
Look, Billy.
Because you're a failure.
Don't you dare talk to me like that.
I don't even have
Mrs. Wilkinson slaps him. They both look shocked. Billy starts to sob and rests his head against her arm. She puts her hand on the back of his neck and rubs it with her thumb. Later, they're back in the boxing ring trying to perfect the pirouette. Billy tries again and again, occasionally bending over with exhaustion. Now, in the car.
Can I put a tape on, miss?
All right, if you must.
She drives onto a platform alongside a Black Mariah police van. The platform, encased within a cradle, begins to move, transporting the vehicles in the T's transporter bridge across the river. Billy gazes up at the sky. The yellow cradle glides serenely above the smooth surface of the water.
It's cush, isn't it? So is there a story then, miss? Of course.
It's about a woman who's captured by an evil magician.
Sounds crap.
And this woman, this beautiful woman, is forced to be a swan. Except for a few hours every night, she becomes alive. She becomes real again. And then one night, she meets this young prince. And he falls in love with her. And she realizes that this is the one thing that will allow her to become a real woman once more.
So then what happens?
Promises to marry her and goes off with someone else, of course.
So she has to be a swan for good?
She dies.
But the prince didn't love her.
Come on, it's time to go.
It's only a ghost story. Come on!
Billy looks troubled, but he climbs into the car's passenger seat. The cradle nears the other side of the river. Now it's night time. Holding a half-empty glass of milk in his hand, Billy gently slides open the door, separating the kitchen from Grandma's room.
No! No! No!
It's me. It's Billy.
The frail and frightened old woman gradually lies back down. Billy slides the door shut, wearing a concerned frown. He crosses the kitchen and takes a bottle of milk out of the fridge, then starts to drink from it.
Oi, little un. What have I told you about drinking out the bottle?
Sorry, ma'am.
He turns from the vision of his ma'am and pours milk into his glass.
Well, put it back.
He puts the lid onto the milk bottle and places it in the fridge door. When he turns back to the kitchen, his mother's gone. He looks around expectantly, then sighs.
One.
Now he's practicing exercises at the bar in the club. He stands with a straight back as he runs one pointed foot up his calf, then holds his leg out in front of him, then to the side, then behind him.
Reach out. Lift.
Mrs. Wilkinson looks moved by the poise and elegance of the young boy standing in front of her. They both trail their hands out in front of them, almost touching, before drawing apart. Now Billy's in the changing rooms. He pulls on his trainers, then takes a blue vest from a pile next to him. As he's pulling it on, Debbie comes and sits on the bench next to him, sucking on a lollipop.
When's the audition then?
Tomorrow morning.
I'll miss you if you go away.
Who do you think's better? Fred Astaire or Ginger Rogers?
Billy, do you not fancy his like?
Dunno. Never really thought about it.
He starts putting his things away.
If you want, I'll show you me Fanny.
Billy closes his bag, then turns to look at her.
No, you're right.
He gets up and walks out, leaving Debbie to suck on her lolly. A wall of riot police is charging after fleeing miners. Tony backs up against a wall, then slips into a house, followed seconds later by the police. London calling to the faraway town. The police chase Tony through the house, knocking over an old man as they go. Outside, Tony races past a man washing his car and knocks over his bucket. Hundreds of miners run past in the background, but the police have their sights firmly set on Tony. In another house, an elderly woman holds open the back door for him to escape. A police van screeches to a halt, and Tony slams on the bonnet, spits on the windscreen, then carries on going. Billy bolts around a corner and comes face to face with the police. Tony legs it between lines of white washing, then through a back gate. As he passes through a kitchen, he gulps a cup of tea from the side. He finds himself standing alone in front of over 100 riot police who start banging their shields with their truncheons. Some policemen peel away from the lines and Tony turns back on himself. Perched on a wall, Billy has an overview of the chase and sees Tony becoming entangled in a sheet from a washing line. Blinded by the sheet, Tony bursts out onto the road and is clubbed down by police on horseback. Blood stains the crisp white cotton as Tony's dragged along the ground, then thrown into the back of a van. Now, Billy's making a surreptitious phone call.
Hello?
Debbie puts the phone down on him and he hangs up looking puzzled.
Right, this is for court four. Tony Elliott. George Brunton. Gary Cummings. Colin Woodward. Norman.
Billy's with Tony in court. Having been stood up at the club, Mrs. Wilkinson drives through Billy's neighbourhood. She looks up a road, then consults a piece of paper in her hand. She pulls on the handbrake, takes her bag off the passenger seat, then gets out. As she walks up the alleyway, an old man moves away from his wall. A little girl's keeping pace alongside her. A woman leaning on her back gate.
Can I help you?
Yeah. I was looking.
They're out.
Sorry.
Heading back down the alley, Mrs. Wilkinson bumps into Jackie, Tony and Billy, who walk straight past her.
Billy?
Please, miss. Don't.
What's going on, Billy?
Who the fuck are you? I think we better go inside.
Mrs. Wilkinson follows them in.
I know this might be difficult for you, but today Billy missed a very important audition.
Audition?
For the Royal Ballet School.
The Royal Ballet?
School. It's where they teach the ballet.
You've got to be joking, though.
No, I'm perfectly serious.
Have you any idea what we're going through? I've been in a fucking cell all night. And you come round here talking shite, and you! Fucking ballet! What are you trying to do? Make him a fucking scab for the rest of his life? Look at him! He's only 11, for fuck's sake!
You gotta start training from when you're young.
Shut it! I'm not having any brother of mine running around like a right twat for your gratification.
Excuse me, this is not for my gratification.
And what good's it gonna do him? You're not taking him away. He's only a bairn. What about giving him a childhood?
I don't want a child. I don't want to be a ballet dancer.
And anyway, what do you know about it? What qualifications have you got?
Look, I haven't come here to defend myself.
Well, for all we know, you could be some fucking nutter. Could get the fucking social onto you.
I think you should calm yourself down, son.
Well, you shake and dance. Well, go on then. Let's see this fucking dance.
This is ridiculous.
If you're a fucking ballet dancer, then let's be having you.
Don't you dare.
What sort of a teacher are you, eh? He's got the chance to dance, and now you're fucking telling him not to. Dance, you little twat. No! So piss off. You're not doing any more fucking ballet. And if you go anywhere near him again, I'll smack you on your middle-class crown.
Nothing about me, you sanctimonious little shit.
Stop dreaming of the quiet life.
As the argument rages inside, Billy goes out and vents his frustration. He covers his ears, then scrapes his hands along the wall. He goes into the outside toilet. Sitting on the pan, he taps his feet in time to the music and pulls out his cheeks. Then he kicks down the door and bursts outside. He bounces against the walls and kicks his heels, then tap dances up some steps whilst running his hands up and down the railing. Building up speed, he kicks out at the railing, then jumps a wall. Michael watches as Billy joins him on a roof, where Tony can also see him through the window. Keeping up the frenzied tap dancing, Billy swings his arm as though playing an air guitar. He pulls his jumper over his head as his heels and toes click across the concrete. He leaps to the ground and lands hard on his feet. Running off down the alley, he kicks a football as Michael chases after him. Billy runs along a steep, narrow road with a frustrated expression, his twisted ankle making him hop a little. His face contorts in pain as he shakes his foot out to the side whilst hobbling. He stops at the brow of the hill and aggressively taps the foot of his injured leg. He taps his way down the road, spinning furiously towards a dead end, where a high wall of rusting corrugated iron awaits him. He bangs into it. He kicks the rusty metal, then wearily slides down onto his haunches. As he breathes deeply, tiny flakes of snow drift on the breeze.
Billy! Billy, come on!
It's some months later, and the back street is now thick with snow.
Hurry up!
Billy runs to join Michael.
Merry Christmas, everybody!
While celebrations are in full swing at the club, Jackie's taking a sledgehammer to the piano in the backyard. Billy's sitting in the doorway of the outside toilet, watching with a heartbroken expression and flinching at every blow. The door swings back and forth against him.
Do you think she'll mind?
Shut up, Billy. She's dead.
Jackie swings again with renewed vigour, and the back of the piano drops down, narrowly missing Billy. Later, bits of the piano are burning in the grate. Billy and Grandma are eating their Christmas dinner on their laps, while Jackie's sitting by the fire with a drink in his hand. Tony joins them, wearing a pinny.
Oh, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Billy looks up and sees his dad started to cry. Grandma looks over at Jackie as well, while Billy pokes the fire with a piece of splintered wood. Later on, Billy and Michael are making a snowman in the dark.
Fucking great Christmas this has been. Go on, have some.
Where'd you get it?
Your dad's got loads in the kitchen.
What do you notice?
He never knows how much is there.
Oh, it's a piss.
You get used to it. Yeah.
Michael gives Billy the bottle.
Maybe you could volunteer something. You know, join a dancing troupe.
Don't be so stupid.
Well, maybe it's all for the best.
What do you mean?
You won't have to go away or nothing.
My hands are freezing.
Kiss him, yeah.
When Michael takes Billy's hand, Billy looks at him curiously.
What are you doing?
Nothing. Just warming your hands up.
Billy studies him for a moment.
You're not a puffer up.
What gave you that impression?
My hand's cold.
I quite like it.
Michael kisses him on the cheek.
Just because I like ballet doesn't mean I'm a puff, you know.
You won't tell anyone, will you?
A smile breaks across Billy's face.
Come on.
Michael watches him walk away. Next, they're at the club, and Billy switches on the lights.
It's fucking freezing in here.
A tutu.
What's this?
Just put it on.
Jackie and his mate stagger down the road. One of them urinates on the snowman.
Oh, Dud! Dud, there's somebody in the club.
He's walking away with it, right? And it's called Norman. And then round the corner came this wallaby.
George gazes up at the lights in the club. In the boxing ring, Michael's wearing the tutu, while Billy shows him ballet positions.
Plié first.
What's a plié?
It's French.
Why is it French?
I don't know. Second. A princess.
Billy adjusts Michael's arms.
Second, and down. And first, carry on. Fifth. Shoulders down, long neck.
How do I look?
Shut up, you puff.
Fuck off.
George is watching them from the shadows.
And first, fifth, second, down. First, fifth.
Jackie, man. Here.
Give us your hand.
Michael pulls Billy across the gym on a rope swing. As Billy taps his way across the hall, Jackie comes in, bringing him to a halt. Michael lets go of the rope and clumsily pushes the tutu down his legs. Looking distraught, Jackie turns his gaze from Michael to Billy, then rubs his face with his hands. Looking defiant, Billy continues his routine. He turns from Jackie, then back again, before doing a scissor jump that makes his dad flinch. Then Billy launches into a dance routine, incorporating football movements. He punches the air, then spins round, holding his arms aloft triumphantly. Gracefully, Billy travels across the floor, throwing himself at the grill above the changing area, then running forward into a flip. He skillfully pirouettes back to his dad. Finally, he spins round on the spot in front of Jackie, finishing with one hand on his shoulder and another in the air. Without a word, Jackie turns and walks out, while Michael applauds. Billy chases after Jackie.
Dad!
Go home, son!
Billy swallows hard. That same night, Jackie runs down Mrs. Wilkinson Street. He's driven from the pavement by the same barking dog. Tom answers the door.
Is this a friend of yours, then?
Jackie stands in the doorway.
How much is it going to cost?
And a happy Christmas to you, too. Not as much as you might think. Maybe 2 grand. But there's a good chance the council's...
2 grand? I was talking about the additions.
Look, it's just a matter of the trip to London. I'll give you the money for the fair.
I didn't come here to be patronised.
Oh, no one's trying to patronise you. You're being ridiculous.
Am I?
Yes.
Thanks for everything you've done for Billy. But he is my son, isn't he? I'll handle this myself.
Hearing his dad arrive home, Billy ducks down under his bed covers and pretends to be asleep. Jackie comes into the room and takes a seat on the edge of Billy's bed. Eventually, Billy sits up. Jackie has his back to him. Jackie turns to look at Billy, who's watching him with an uncertain frown. It's daytime. Jackie's walking along a road that cuts through a bleak, quarried landscape. His hands shoved deep in his pockets, he joins a group of men standing next to a bus. Police officers are waiting nearby.
What? Smith. Glinton.
Kerner. Is that the lot, then?
Fucking hell. I never thought I'd see you down here.
Exchange, yeah.
Come on, then. Right, you. Name.
Jackie Elliott.
Glad to see you've come to your senses.
He's a big man now, eh? Yeah, talk to him.
Jackie takes a deep breath, then steps away from Gary.
Right, okay, you lot. Oh, yeah. All aboard the Skylark, look lively.
To Jackie.
Can't scope on him yet. These are private buses.
Jackie shakes his head. An angry mob's waiting at the pit. As the bus passes, the striking miners reach out to it through a thick line of police officers. Eggs and fruit are thrown at the vehicle, and the wire net from the windows is pulled away. Looking nervous, Jackie shifts over to a seat on the other side of the aisle. Tony's with a group of protesters on the other side of the road, and eventually he looks up and spots his dad on the coach. An egg hits the window near Jackie's head as Tony stares in disbelief. Tony forces his way through the police line to the bus and climbs up on the back. Jumping down, Tony charges back through a crowd of miners to a tall, spiky metal fence at the back of them. He watches the coach drive onto the side, accompanied by a police escort. Someone gives Tony a leg up over the fence, and he runs off towards the bus just as Jackie's getting off. The bus pulls away.
Dad! What the fuck are you doing?
Flanked on all sides by large mounds of coal, Jackie turns to see Tony, then walks away.
You can't go back, not now!
Look at this chaos, man. What have we gone through for the poor son?
You can't do this, not now! Not after all this time, not after everything we've been through!
It's for we bullet!
Fuck!
You make me a fucking genius for all we know!
For fuck's sake, Dad, you can't do this, man! Dad! Dad!
Dad,
he's only 11, for fuck's sake! He's a kid! He's just a fucking little kid!
Oh,
Dad, please! Please!
In Tony's arms, Jackie drops to his knees.
We're finished, son. What choice have we got, eh? Let's give the boy a fucking chance.
Please, please don't do this to me, Dad. We'll find him some money. We'll find it for him. What the fuck is he doing, Tony?
It's okay. He's gonna be okay.
Just get him out of here, Tony.
Oh, wait, leave it. Go on.
Let's go home, Dad.
Tony and Billy are in bed.
Dad's right, you know. Mum would have let you.
Tony rolls over. Now the kitchen table's covered in coins.
All them 50 pences. Here. It was a toss-up between the new punch bag or you.
It's not even enough for the bed and breakfast, man. Forget about it. You're dreaming. Look at you fucking scrabbling round for 50 pences. You've got to do better than that.
Ho! I'm going to have a raffle at the welfare. And I'm going to organise a concert.
Thanks, George.
Jackie places his cigarette in an ashtray, then opens a jewellery box.
Can't even keep the soup kitchen open.
George said we...
He takes a gold ring from it. Slides it halfway down his little finger, then lays a gold chain and pendant across his palm. Finally, he intertwines a delicate gold watch through his fingers, then makes a fist.
Come on, lads, dig deep for the miners.
Jackie's walking along the street to the pawnbroker's. He hesitates outside the door and glances round at the miners' fundraiser before eventually venturing inside. Now he's striding purposefully along the back street carrying a suitcase, with Billy tapping, tripping and dancing along beside him.
Is that absolutely necessary? Walk normal, will you?
Now they're on a coach.
So what's it like?
What's what like?
London?
I don't know, son. I never made it past Durham.
Have you never been, like?
Why would I want to go to London?
It's the capital city.
Well, there's no mines in London.
Christ. Is that all you think about?
Billy stares out of the window as the coach speeds along the motorway. Later, they're walking across a manicured lawn towards an impressive stately building. A woman sitting at a desk in a large marble hall. Two staircases curve around her, meeting at the top. As they climb the marble stairs, male and female ballet dancers pass them. Billy stops to watch a class taking place through some large double doors. Next, in a changing room. Being measured.
I'm on the box, please. Right, bend over. Right down. And come up. Up. Head down. Tiny curvature here. Head down.
How tiny?
Might not be a problem. Come on, keep going. Right. Right, jump up, will you?
It's Billy. Billy Elliot.
Jackie's watching a class.
Two, three, and four. Dad! For fuck's sake! Four. One, two, change my mind.
Get back in the
Jackie stands sentry at the door and nods at a passing staff member. Billy walks into a large room where an intimidating panel of judges is waiting for him.
You are?
Billy Elliot from Everington.
I beg your pardon?
Billy Elliot.
Ah, yes, of course. Well, come to the bar, please, Billy.
Nervously, Billy walks across to the bar.
Left arm on the bar. Feet first. Arm second. Demi-plie. And hold.
Breathing heavily, Billy holds the position while the six strong panel of men and women scrutinise him and whisper to one another. Billy swallows hard and looks down at his legs nervously. Outside the room, Jackie becomes distracted by the intricate metalwork of the balustrade.
Billy, I'd like to see you move to some music. Do you have a piece prepared?
Billy looks over to where the music's coming from, then turns back to the panel. They watch him blankly as he shifts from foot to foot, taking deep breaths. Finally, he starts to dance. The panel look down at his feet as Billy launches into his football routine. While they study him curiously, outside, Jackie's pacing up and down. In the audition, Billy's combining his freestyle moves with more traditional ballet steps. Looks are exchanged across the panel. He pirouettes in front of them, then finishes with one arm outstretched. Out of breath, Billy stares at the panel's expressionless faces. Then the chairman makes some notes.
Thank you.
Back in the changing room, the boy who was talking to Billy earlier is sitting waiting.
You all right? What's the matter?
It was a waste of fucking time.
Don't be upset. It's only a stupid audition. It's all right.
Fuck off!
It's always next to you.
Look! Fuck off with you! Oh. You bent bastard!
A woman rushes in.
What on earth's going on here?
She frog marches Billy back to his dad.
How did it go?
Billy throws himself into a chair.
Shit! Mr. Elliot, I'm afraid that mutual respect and self-discipline are absolute prerequisites for any pupil in this school. Such displays of violence cannot be tolerated under any circumstances, do you understand? I realize we shall have to consider this very seriously, and it will be bound to affect our final decision. Yes, well, just a few questions then. Billy, can you tell us why you first became interested in the ballet?
Dunno. Just was.
Well, was there any particular aspect of the ballet which caught your imagination?
The dancing?
He dances all the time, every night after school. Yes, well, we have a very enthusiastic letter from Mrs. Wilkinson, and she has told us of your personal circumstances. Mr. Elliot, are you a fan of the ballet?
I wouldn't exactly say I was an expert.
You do realize that all pupils must attain the highest standards, not just in ballet, but in their ordinary academic work. No child can succeed without the 100% support of the family. You are completely behind, Billy. Are you not?
Yes. Yes, of course.
Want to ask us any questions?
Jackie fidgets.
No, not really, no.
Well, in that case, we shall let you know in due course.
Jackie gets up and heads for the door.
Just one last question. Can I ask you, Billy, what does it feel like when you're dancing?
Billy thinks hard.
Dunno.
The panel lower their eyes.
Sort of feels good. It's sort of stiff in that
But once I get going, then I, like, forget everything. And sort of disappear. Sort of disappear. Like, I feel a change in my whole body. And like there's fire in my body. Just there. Flying. Like a bird. Like electricity. Yeah.
Have a safe journey home.
Billy heads out, looking forlorn.
Mr. Elliot, good luck with the strike.
At home, a piece of toast flies out of the toaster.
I think you should get yourself a trade, son. Something useful. Oh, I could have been a professional dancer.
Jackie and Billy glare at Grandma. In the classroom.
And the pressure of all of this caused the plants and trees to change. Into coal.
Oh, that's what must have happened to you.
Michael Caffrey, if you have got something to say, you can say it to the class.
Sorry, miss.
So, gradually, over hundreds of thousands of years...
Grandma's gazing out of the window when she spots the postman walking up the path.
Post!
This is it.
Billy's walking home.
Have you heard anything yet?
Not yet.
You'll have no problem, man. Fingers crossed, eh?
Billy smiles at George, but as he carries on, his face creases with a worried frown. At home, the letters propped up on the table between the sauce bottles and the salt. When they hear Billy come in, Grandma and Jackie rush to take a seat at the table, while Tony hovers in the background. Billy stops dead when he sees the letter, then joins them at the table and drums his fingers. He glances at each of them, then tentatively picks up the envelope. He looks at his dad with a pained expression, then gets up from the table and takes the letter into his grandma's room. He slides the door shut. Tony turns back to the sink. In his grandma's armchair, Billy discards the envelope and slowly opens the letter. While he reads it, his brother, dad and grandma wait on tenterhooks in the next room. Gazing at the letter, Billy leans back in the chair. He lets out a breath, his face betraying no emotion. Jackie takes a hand-rolled cigarette from his tin and lights it. Billy puts the letter to one side and grabs a cushion. As he hugs it to himself, he begins to cry. Unable to bear the waiting any longer, Jackie gets to his feet and rushes to the room, followed by Grandma and Tony.
Hello.
Billy looks up at them. With a broad smile on his face, Jackie races along the street and bursts into the club.
He did it! He fucking did it!
Jackie, have you not heard, man? We're going back.
Strike's over, Jackie. The union caved in yesterday.
At the cemetery.
I think I'm scared, Dad.
That's okay, son. We're all scared.
Well, if I don't like it, can I still come back?
Are you kidding? We've let out your room.
Jackie sighs heavily. Billy starts laughing. Billy pushes his dad over the fence they're sitting on, then falls down after him. They lie together on the grass. Then Jackie pulls Billy close to his chest and hugs him tightly. At the club, Billy's sitting in the changing room area. He stands on the bench to watch the dance class in the next room.
Keep going, girls! 3, 4, 5.
Mrs. Wilkinson comes in.
Miss, just came to tell you.
It's all right, Billy. I heard it from Debbie.
Look, it was just... Well, you know... everything.
She stares at him.
I'll miss you, miss.
No, you won't.
I will. Honest.
This is when you go out and find life. And all those other things. The best of luck, Billy.
She goes back.
Right, back to the bar, girls. And again. Thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4. Debbie eyes front. 7 and 8. And
he walks out slowly, looking sad.
5, 6, 7.
At home.
Was she there?
Yeah.
You missed the bus?
What up?
I'll take it.
When his dad and Tony step outside, Billy walks over to Grandma and gently touches her hand. She grabs him roughly, squeezes him tight, then pushes him away again. She nods at him, then he grabs his suitcase, takes one last look at the kitchen, then heads out. He stares at the back door, then struggles up the steps with his case. In the alley, Tony takes it from him. Then he and Jackie fight over who should carry it. After a last look around, Billy follows them, passing the little girl who's always hanging about.
Goodbye, Billy.
See ya.
Michael comes out of his house and climbs up onto his back wall.
Oi! Dancing boy!
What's the bus, Billy?
Will you stop being an old fucking woman?
Billy runs back up the street to Michael, and the two friends shuffle awkwardly in silence. Billy runs back to his dad and Tony. Now, Tony's loading the case onto the bus while Jackie hugs Billy tightly, bringing him high off the ground. He sets Billy down, then keeps his back turned as Billy boards the bus. Billy takes a seat at a window and gets himself settled. He suddenly catches Tony's eye, and a moment passes between them. Then Tony reaches into his pocket for something, and Billy looks at him expectantly. Tony flicks him the V's, then smiling proudly mouths, "I'll miss you." Billy can't hear him.
"I'll miss you!"
"But I can't hear you!"
As the bus pulls away, Billy runs to the back, bangs on the window and shouts, "I can't hear you." Tony stops and watches the bus leave. In a somber mood, Jackie and Tony join other miners in a packed lift about to go down the shaft. A man closes the gate, then presses a button. The lift slowly descends into the mine. Shafts of sunlight flood the gym, where Mrs. Wilkinson's standing by herself in silhouette. Billy gazes sadly out of the window as the bus cruises along the road. Now a tube train pulls into a station in London. Years have passed by. On board, Jackie has his nose buried in a pamphlet while Tony hurries to get off.
"Dad! Come on, man, we're going to be late!"
Tony rushes along the platform while Jackie takes his time.
"Dad!"
Then, as Tony runs up the escalator, Jackie looks about him in wonder.
"Come on!"
At a West End theatre,
show's just started.
They take their seats.
"Excuse me. Can you tell Billy Elliot that his family's here?"
"Sorry, mate.
It's all right, Tony. It's me, Michael. Remember?"
Tony looks shocked. Michael's wearing makeup. Tony nods to Jackie.
"It's Michael.
What are you doing here?"
"I wouldn't have messed up for the world."
In the wings, the all-male corps de ballet rush off stage. In silhouette, viewed from behind, a figure is walking confidently towards the stage. A stagehand helps him out of his robe, revealing a naked, muscular torso. He bends over to stretch. He's wearing white feathery pantaloons, and his face has been made up to look like a swan.
"Billy, your family here. Thanks."
A faraway look enters Billy's eye before he carries on with his stretches. Meanwhile, Jackie's eyes are brimming with proud tears. As Billy becomes more and more focused, in the audience, Michael waits, wide-eyed and with bated breath. The corps de ballet look to Billy, then fly onto the stage. Billy jumps up and down, finishing his warm-up. Then, with all eyes on him, he makes a breathtaking leap into the spotlight at the center of the stage. Billy is a young lad again, wearing his yellow vest and excitedly bouncing up and down on his bed. "Flying all out like an eagle in the sun, riding all out."